get into the lesson this morning. Psalm 46:1, "For God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." For a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about help from heaven. You know, there is a lot of talk about man being self-dependent or independent. There's a lot of talk about being independent and self-reliant. And to a certain extent, that is good. On the other hand, man is extremely dependent. You know, we rely on someone to grow, process, package, deliver, and a lot of times make the food that we ate last week. We rely on someone to grow the wool, the cotton, create the synthetic fibers, to manufacture the clothes that we wear. We relied on someone to make our mode of transportation, to maintain it, to fuel it, so that we could come to the assembly this morning. We rely on so many people and so many things, and I think sometimes we might realize that as we get older and older. And it's good to be self-reliant as much as possible, but we also recognize the need to be dependent on others. And when you add those two elements together, we are still totally dependent on help from the other side, from help from God, from heaven, to be able to be pleasing to God and to make it to heaven. So one of the first things we need to do starting off is we need to recognize the need for divine help in our lives. A lot of people just don't see that. They think they can make it through this life on their own. They think they don't need God, but we need to recognize that need. If we go on over in Psalms to Psalm 121, beginning at verse 1, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." You know, we need to recognize that divine help is always available. Some people think that God is too busy running the universe to care about us. Some think that the Holy Spirit only served a purpose when miracles existed. Some people conclude that there is no power in God's word or prayer. And we see that evidenced by the way people live their lives. If we reach those conclusions, then we are left on our own abilities and badly in need of help from God. Sometimes we might fall into sin and temptation and say that temptation was too strong. And you know what? When all the forces of the devil and evil are hurled at us, and we are on our own, we cannot overcome that temptation without the help of God. When we feel like the cares of life are pressing on us, and all the pains and the weaknesses of the human flesh, we can understand how a man would give in to temptation if he was on his own, and there is no divine help from heaven, but there is. And when we stop and think about some of the examples we have, Christians at Corinth, they yielded to many different sins after they were baptized. Why? Why did they do that? Because they did not seek divine help. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but in the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, Paul warned the Corinthians against falling as the Israelites had fallen in the wilderness. And he warns that we will all be tempted. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. You know, we're all going to be tempted. I might think I'm the only one going through this. No. Satan tempts everyone. It's common. But God is faithful. And this says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And, you know, when you stop and you think of this, I always think of a bridge. And you drive down the road and you see bridges with these different signs. It may say 2 tons, limit 2 tons, limit 5 tons, limit 10 tons. What does that mean? That means that bridge was designed, it was engineered to carry a certain weight. If that bridge was designed to carry a weight of 2 tons and you put 5 tons on it, that bridge isn't going to hold up. It's going to collapse. What Paul is telling us here, God is not going to give us more than we are able to bear, more than we are able to handle. Sometimes we think we do, and if we think that, then we don't have enough faith in God. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When we're faced with that temptation, there's a way of escape. A lot of times we may just not want to use that. And how silly is that? You know, if this building were on fire, what's the first thing we would do? We would look for a way of escape. And there are even signs posted. I see an exit sign back there, you know, to warn us, to inform us. How can we escape if there's trouble? God's going to give us ways of escape when we are tempted. We've just got to look for them. It may be getting out of the situation that we are in. It may be opening up God's Word and spending more time in it. It may be praying to the Heavenly Father. It may be calling one of our brothers and sisters on the phone and say, "Can you help me? I'm going through a hard time." So if anybody here is struggling with something, you aren't going to be able to help it, take care of it on your own. If you think you can handle the temptation on your own, Satan's got you. But God is faithful. He has provided help from the other side and made a way of escape that we are able to bear it. If we fail or if we fall, it's because we refuse to seek the divine help that our Heavenly Father wants to offer us. You know, He wants to build us up and make us stronger. And there's the whole host of heaven that wants us to succeed. All of that is available to us if we will take hold of it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, oftentimes we talk about this when we are fighting sin and Satan. But it's good just to remind ourselves that we need to have this mindset every day. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." You know, we may tomorrow go out somewhere and we're faced with this right here and think this is what we're fighting. Really, what we're fighting is what somebody's put in our head when we were thinking of this or watching that over there. So we have to be aware of where the battle is. Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He's given us so many tools and weapons and powers to defeat Satan, to defeat those things that come at us every day. Thanks be to God that we are not limited to our own abilities. If He left us on our own, if He saved us from sin and then left us on our own to deal with it ourselves, we'd be doomed. We'd be doomed. But God has given us help from heaven. We need also to recognize the need for more than just the material in this world. You know, an animal is satisfied with just the material. Have you ever seen a bird nest in a tree where they just take scraps of paper and twigs and whatever garbage and they build a nice little nest and they're happy with that? Have you ever seen a bird nest where they took and they built on a porch, and they built on a back room, and they built on an addition? You'll never see it. Sometimes they have more sense than we do. They're satisfied with that. But with man, not only is man not content with just the bare necessities, but God created within us a desire for something more than the physical. Man is out there trying to fulfill himself with all of these physical things, but God has created within us a desire that the physical cannot fulfill. Matthew 4:4, but He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You want to have a fulfilling life? You want to live life to its fullest? We need to spend time in the Word of God. Man has needs that can only be satisfied from heaven. We have help from heaven, and He's revealed it to us in His Word. That invitation is always there to use that help from heaven. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And at verse 14, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And He was tempted in all points just like we are, yet without sin. And because of that, because our high priest can go and intercede on our behalf, we should come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help in a time of need. We have Christ on our side. We have Christ to help us find that grace. That grace is that favor. And that grace, along with the Word, should be sufficient for us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12. And look at what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 12. "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above the measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's back to Paul wanted to do it on his own. He wanted this thorn in the flesh removed so he could be independent. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, we have to go through trials and struggles and temptations to learn to trust in God and to learn to grow in God. And I was reading something last night, and I had read this story before, but it was about a man that found a cocoon, and he saw that the butterfly was starting to emerge from it, and he was going to help the butterfly come out, and he took some scissors and he snipped the cocoon and pulled it back so that it could come on out. And it finally made its way out, and then it wobbled around, and he was expecting to see it open up its beautiful wings, and it just fell over and flopped down. And you know why? Because it wasn't designed to come out that way. It had to struggle to come out to be stronger once it got out. And in a way, that is how God designed us. He designed us that we have to go through life struggling to get through it so we can rely on Him, on His grace, and trust in God so that we can come out just like that butterfly with those beautiful wings, you know, that brings glory to the Creator. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul needed help from heaven, and God supplied it. We need help today too. But you know, we live in a world where we are taught to be independent. Do you need some help? No, I don't need any help. I'm okay. You need some help? No, I'm okay. I don't need help. Friends, we all need help. And again, there's nothing wrong with trying to take care of ourselves. And we try to do things to be self-reliant. And we were visiting at someone's house not too long ago, and I've talked about doing this in my basement, and I still want to do it, but he had these cans of food, you know, that would last for 25 years. And on one hand, that's really good to prepare in case some disaster happened, but then again, where do we put our trust in God? God is there to help us. There is help from heaven for us. So instead of this thorn in the flesh weakening Paul, God's grace made him stronger. And because of God's grace, what was Paul able to say? Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is from a man who had a thorn in the flesh, whatever that may have been, and he was writing this letter from the prison in Rome. And in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know, all of us face trials every day. We don't have much control over today. We don't know what's going to happen today. It's going to bring some anxiety, some worry, some concerns. Tomorrow is going to be the same way. Day after tomorrow, you know, more worry and care and who knows what. We just don't know. You know, when we left the nursing home yesterday and we wanted to find a different person to buy eggs from, so we went out Clayton Road to Old Dayton because I knew I'd seen a sign out there, and we were coming up to the intersection where Stephen Cook has his little greenhouse out there, and I pushed on the brake, and that pedal just kept going. It just kept going, and there was a big grain truck coming, and I lost my brakes, you know. And we were able to make it on home, but I wasn't planning on that at all, you know. And I know I'm going to have to deal with that tomorrow. And we don't know what's going to happen, and you know, just one thing. How many things happen to us each day to distract us? And those things can distract us if we allow them to. We need to keep our focus on God. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And the peace of God, again, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, which is what Paul said also. And again, Christ is our burden bearer. But what happens? We try to carry our own burdens, our own burdens. I at times try to do that too. And I know you can tell when I do that. And I can tell when you're trying to do that. Because it shows in our faces. It shows in our eyes. We don't look like children of God. We look like we're carrying the weight of the world. But what does Peter say? Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We have help from heaven. We have help from heaven. Do we want to accept it? You know, how are we going to influence the lost if we walk around and it looks like we're carrying the weight of the world instead of we handed that over to our Heavenly Father? He's going to take care of it. God is in control. God is in control. You saw that sun? You saw that moon this morning? God is in control. You know, we need help from heaven. We do not need to fall beneath the weight of any burden. We do not need to fall to any temptation. Now, people will tell you, oh, it's going to be hard. You're going to struggle. I don't know how you're going to be able to get through it. You know, God gives us help. God is faithful. We can turn to help from the other side. We need to rest assured that we will have success, that God is good, and that His Word is true. And then realizing our dependence on God, all of us ought to always be earnestly, fervently, diligently in prayer. And you know, sometimes we even need help from heaven on praying. You know, when I've done several lessons on prayer lately and the power of prayer, but then sometimes we even need help when we pray. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you ever feel like you're at a loss on how to approach God or how to talk to Him? The Spirit will help us as we apply ourselves in prayer. And we do have to apply ourselves in prayer. If we never pray to God, and then we go to God and pray, we can't expect the Spirit to take that prayer to God in the right way or what we were hoping to get. But if we are in that praying without ceasing, that's our lifestyle over and over and over. We're always praying to God. And we have that burden, that care on our heart. And we don't know how to tell God about it. The Spirit is going to help us with that. He's going to help us with our prayer. Friends, God never wants us to sin. He gives us help from heaven. God never overlooks sin. You think about Lot's wife or Moses. But God does not leave us without help when we do sin. 1 John 2, 1 and 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You know, sin is very enslaving. We become imprisoned. All hope is lost. We become helpless without divine help. But we are blessed that our Father is gracious enough to send divine help to help us escape from the prison of sin. Jesus is willing to do that. Not only willing, but He is able. And just think about that. So many times we might call someone, and when I was younger and I'd need something done, I'd always call my older brother. I'd say, "Neil, can you help me do this?" And, "Yeah, come on over and I'll help you do that." And my older brother would help me do that. There were a couple times he wasn't able to, just for whatever reason. But you know, in life, when we've got something and it's a challenge, we can call our brother, we can call each other. We have Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ not only is willing to help us, He is able to help us. He is able to help us. Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." We have help from heaven. You know, sometimes people may feel that their sins are too great to overcome them, or the burdens of life are too great, but we have help from heaven. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of that. We need to remember that divine encouragement. Maybe we feel too small or insignificant for God to notice. Yeah, God's going to look out for brother so-and-so, but He's not going to look out for me. Well, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." You know, we think God doesn't notice us. God doesn't notice me. God knows how many hairs I have on my head, as that number is changing every day. God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. God's eye is on us. And that sparrow, that's not created in His image. We are. We are His children. Friends, we have help from heaven. If God cares for the lowly sparrows, surely He will care for His children. Romans 5, 6, and 8, "For when we are still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We weren't some great person that Christ died for. We were sinners. We were enemies of Christ. We are that lowly little sparrow, but He cares for us. If you're unsaved, if you're lost, it's not God's fault. His invitation is universal. Whosoever will. His love and power is high enough, it's deep enough, it's long enough, it's broad enough to save all humanity. We have help from heaven. We have help from heaven. We don't need to think that everything here in this life is on our own shoulders. Titus 2, 11 and 12. We mentioned, this was mentioned in class this morning, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Ephesians 2, 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And in God's goodness, He desires the salvation of all men. In His wisdom, He devised a plan. We call it the plan of salvation. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." It is the blood that atones for sin. God sent His Son to be the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God for our sins. The only way that we can be saved is to come in contact with that blood, that cure for our sins. And the only way that we can come in contact with that cure, that blood, is to reach it through baptism. But if we don't have faith in that, and we're immersed in water, we aren't going to be saved. That water is not going to save us. If we don't confess Christ is the Son of God, He's not going to confess us before the Father either. If we don't turn from our sins and repent of our sins, that, again, that turning, that making our mind right, that water will not save us. But if we do all of those things, friends, God has given us help from heaven where He can save us from our sins. We can rest assured every day of our lives that God is in control, that He's not going to give us anything that we aren't able to overcome. And not only are we just going to get through life, but we can get through life as a shining light, as salt and light that influences others and lead them to Christ. Friends, we have help from heaven. Do we want to accept it? It makes all the difference in how we live our life. It makes all the difference in where we are going to be for eternity after this life. If there is anyone here this morning that needs help from heaven in washing away their sins, there's anyone here this morning that needs help from heaven through repentance and forgiveness of the prayers of the congregation, if we can assist anyone this morning to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.